You are listening to the Pacifica Radio Network's live coverage of tonight's first presidential debate between the candidates of the Republican and Democratic parties. My name is Robert Knight. I'm the anchor of 5 o'clock shadow here at WBAI in New York City. But at this time, we are going to look at a different economy, the human economy of the voting population, in regard to the debate that was ostensibly tonight about economics and on government and governance. But yet there is a crisis of democracy in America today when more people of poverty and color are being subjected to various tactics of what is called voter suppression, perhaps in an effort to achieve a little bit of a wiggle on that 47% about which Republican candidate Mitt Romney recently spoke. And we are very honored to have now with us live Barbara Arnwine, who is the executive director of the Lawyers Project for Civil Rights and also a very active person in the democracy movement in the United States and involved with the Voting Rights Project to seek to reverse the attempt of disenfranchisement. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. And, you know, I'm very happy to be here in the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Is, you know, a really, you know, leading civil rights legal organization. And we've been in this fight for almost 50 years. But I tell you, we are in the fight of our lives right now.
And we're going to speak with some specificity about that. But first, have you any reflections on the debate we were presented with tonight?
I thought that the debate, it may be that the format was just so bad, that it was such a runaway format, and which clashed so often with the presentations. So I'm not sure that the debate allowed the American people to really get a sense of what anyone's programs were for going forward in this country. You know, what was the difference between, you know, what was the real implications of the differences in programs to the degree that you heard the differences? So I'm not sure that this got down and dirty into details, more as it was, you know, criticism of each other's, you know, one-liners. So I'm not sure how helpful this was, you know, to the American people. I do think that for the second debate between the presidential candidates, that they should do better. It may be that having a one moderator format just isn't the best format, or it may be that having a one moderator format where the moderator is not a firm hand is just not a good format. I thought some of the questions were Mickey Mouse. I didn't like them. I thought they could have been better and could have elucidated more information. I thought it was fascinating the questions that weren't asked. You know, nothing about women was asked. Women's rights, that's been a huge issue this year. Nothing was asked about the 47% comments. Nothing, you know, about, you know, how people view, you know, democracy going forward. There were just a lot of really strange, missing, fundamentally critical questions. So I think it was not the best, you know, debate to serve, you know, the American people. If this were, you know, a debate about performance and how people came across as either passionate about their issues or not so passionate, then that's, you know, one, you know, criteria. But I do think that when it came to substance, that this was not a really well-done substantive debate.
One of the questions that comes up is that of exclusion. For instance, the compact between the Republicans and the Democrats resulted in the mandatory exclusion of the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, the Peace and Freedom Party, and others. And apparently, it's not just political slates that are suffering from exclusion in this presidential round in 2012, and I can hear you winding up. You are one of the most eloquent and powerful speakers on the issue of voter exclusion. Now, the conventional wisdom will tell us that the purpose of tonight's well-crafted and contained so-called debate was to make inroads to so-called undecided voters. But
right.
you are more concerned, I think, about unrequited voters and those who may not be allowed to come to the polls. Can you speak about what the problem is in America today?
Well, the disaster for America is that after the 2010 midterm elections, a number of state legislatures changed hands. And those state legislatures immediately, as soon as they came into power, started dropping bill after bill, over 100 plus bills, to restrict the ability of voters to actually participate in elections. Not to provide greater access to voters, but to literally restrict the electorate. We know that in 2008, some 20 million plus people who actually voted lacked a Department of Motor Vehicles issued photo identification, either in the form of a driver's license or a non-driver's license. The problem is that these states passed, some 10 states passed laws saying the only way you could vote in their elections were to have a Department of Motor Vehicle issued driver's license or motor vehicle issued identification. The problem with that, of course, is for those 20 million people, there's a reason why they don't have it. You know, some of them are, you know, 23% of all elderly don't drive any longer. So they don't have the identification. A good amount of young people do not have cars and don't drive. They're dependent on other modes of transportation, or they're in college, or and they don't, you don't need a car per se, so they don't have a driver's license. People who are poor disproportionately don't have the driver's licenses because of the same issues. They don't have cars. Racial minorities, 25% of all African Americans, some 5.5 million people of voting age do not have such an ID. So the issue here isn't people proving who they are and having identification, because in almost every state of the union, you must have some form of identification. Either you come in with your utility bills, or you come in with your student IDs, or you come in with other forms of identification, and it's accepted. But what was horrible about these laws was that they said you had to have only one form of identification, and the other exception generally was you would have a passport. Or you would, in some states, have a handgun license, in Texas, for example. But they would not accept your student, state-issued, governmentally-issued, university or college-issued ID. Think about that. We're talking about people who are paying the state thousands of dollars every year, thousands of dollars, to just for the privilege of going to school. And they, of course, are who they are saying they are, because why else would they pay such a huge fee? Yet their IDs are not accepted. People who work for the government, who have to go through background checks and other things, their IDs weren't even accepted. So that were issued by the government. So this was not an issue about people sitting around saying, well, we want everybody to prove who they are. It was really about going after the form of identification, requiring that form that they knew the least amount of people had, and especially the voters who they disliked, you know, racial minorities, the young people, people who they viewed as progressive voters. And of course, it hurts, you know, people with disabilities. These laws do, because many people with who have a disability does not, many oftentimes do not drive. So there's, you know, all kinds of problems with this. And as a consequence, in state after state, we've been fighting back. They tried to pass these laws in 38 states. We were able to defeat those attempts. And 20-something states, a number of states, some 8 states passed what we call confusion laws that just basically say we would like to see an ID. We're going to ask you for one, but you can still vote. But then we had these 10 states that said, you can't even vote. We don't care if you've been voting for 50 years. We don't care if you've been voting for 25 years. We're just going to require this new form of ID.
We are speaking with Barbara Arnwine. She's the executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. And Barbara, there is
just one thing they did wrong, right?
There is a way that with this creeping imposition of a mandatory federal ID for everyone in this country, through these laws, among other efforts that are being made, for instance, the Transportation Security Administration, the airports, we see the same kind of demands being made identity-wise and an arbitrary enforcement of those requirements depending on the cut of the jib of the suspect or the traveler or the person. I'm wondering if there is an arbitrary way that these various state laws of voter ID are being implemented and who is affected if that is the case and in what states is it most grievous?
Well, you know, I think people forget that one of the things they love to say is that they're passing these laws because of voter fraud. Of course, that's not the issue in the state of Pennsylvania during the trial and in the state of South Carolina during the trial and in the state of Texas during the trial. They couldn't produce one instance of anybody who had ever tried to impersonate another person in order to vote in their states. Remember that, you know, that the majority of voting fraud in this country is not done by voter impersonation because it's too ineffective. The real way if you're going to cheat on an election, you do it through absentee ballots or you do it in the vote count. So it's a very odd, you know, set of laws. But the most important thing, too, is to remember, you know, I travel all the time, and there are so many instances where I have to sit and where I have to stand and wait while somebody before me is being examined because they don't have a driver's license or they don't have a state-issued identification. And I've watched every single person I've ever seen challenged has been allowed to fly. I've never seen anyone turn back and not allowed to fly because they either had statements from their friends or they had some kind of bill or they had something that proved something about their identification. And they were all questioned and satisfied and allowed to fly. So, you know, this is interesting that we want to make the most fundamental right in our country the hardest right for people to have access to. So the states that have done these bad things, Pennsylvania, you heard just yesterday.
Yes.
The big victory because people sued in that state. We still expect confusion because the judge gave a partial victory. He said that people, even if you don't have an ID, that you in fact can vote. You could vote a regular ballot, and it must be counted. That's what counts. But he also said that people can still ask you for the ID. They still can advertise that you must have an ID, which will confuse voters. So it's up to us to go to the people in the state of Pennsylvania and to tell them what the actual ruling is that they, in fact, can vote without this governmentally issued ID.
Even though those procedures will be required in the next election, is that correct?
Well, the judge set a status conference for December in the case to continue to rule in the case. So he did not rule that the law would go into effect. I've seen some really bad reporting on that. Instead, he set up a status conference for December to decide what are the next steps in the litigation. So we're not sure yet, you know, what the permanent result will be here, because he did not enter a permanent order as this was only, you know, as to, you know, a preliminary, you know, injunction as to this election. So there's no ruling on going forward yet. The other thing is in the states of South Carolina, in the states of Alabama, Mississippi, and in Texas. Those are all states that are required under the Voting Rights Act, required under Section 5 of that act, which is a very peculiar section that only exists for states that have, in jurisdictions, that have a history of racial discrimination in voting. It requires that before they can institute any major changes to their laws or voting procedures, that they must get pre-clearance from the Department of Justice or from a federal court. Or even if the Department of Justice denies them pre-clearance, that they can challenge that in a federal court. Well, South Carolina was denied pre-clearance, and they are challenging it in federal court. That trial just ended last week. Texas, they challenged they tried to pre-clear their procedure in federal court, and the federal court threw out the law, rejected the law, said it was discriminatory, and said something amazing, that it was that the law was adopted to be discriminatory against the poor and discriminatory against minorities. That's why it was adopted. So that's, you know, a huge ruling, major finding. So we anticipate right now that the Texas law is most likely dead and will not be in effect come November 6th.
Have you found a pattern in across the nation that there may be, if not the intent, the actual practice or statistical indications, that there is a systematic result that reduces the black tide of voting, or the Latino wave, or poor whites, or conscious women?
Well, I always like to say that these laws have, they have people in their crosshairs, in their sniper scopes, and no doubt about it, sniper scopes are looking at, you know, people of color. They're looking at, you know, African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, Asian Americans, but they're also looking at young voters. They hate young voters. They believe that young voters are, quote, too liberal. And that they're going to vote too progressive. So as a consequence, you know, a lot of these laws have been, you know, really geared to deter young voters. But also these laws, because of their impact, there's blowback on, you know, people who are, in fact, elderly and people with disabilities. And, of course, there's a whole culture in the, and I should say ideology in the far right, that most Americans have not picked up on, where they really believe that poor people should not vote. They absolutely hate the idea of poor people voting. And if you think I'm wrong, look up Matthew Vadum, V-A-D-U-M, and he has an article called Giving the Poor the Right to Vote is Like Giving Criminals Burglary Tools.
We're speaking live with Barbara Arnwine of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. And Barbara, in a few minutes, we're going to be joining, I understand, a colleague of yours, Greg Pallast, who's also doing a tremendous amount of work.
Greg, I haven't seen him in a while.
This issue. And can you tell people what you're doing and where those within the sound of our voices might contact you and get assistance, insight, protection, and legal rights at any point across the United States?
Yes, yeah, because this Beyond Voter ID is about early voting. It's about making sure that people are registered to vote. You know, a lot of people have no idea that they are not registered. They said, oh, I voted in 2008. I'm sure I'm registered. That's not true, folks. You need to verify, because states have been purging voters. In Ohio, they purged. When I say purged, that means they took people off the voter registration rolls. Some 1.3 million people in Ohio, hundreds of thousands in other states. So it's very, very important that you verify your registration, because voter registration deadlines are coming up. Four states closed registration this October 6th. There are a number of states that are closing registration on the 9th. A number of states, the majority of states, will close registration by the 16th. So it's imperative that people verify their registration, make sure you're registered, and get all your friends to register. So here's what you can do. If you don't know for sure and you want to check, call 866-OUR-VOTE. That's 866-687-8683. Again, that's the National Election Protection Hotline. It is staffed by trained legal volunteers that will help answer questions that people have about any issue. We've had people calling saying, you know, how do I early vote? How do I get an absentee ballot? I'm an ex-felon. Can I vote in my state? I'm on parole. I'm on probation. Can I vote? People have called to say, I'm overseas. What do I do about voting? I'm in the military. How do I vote? All of these questions can be answered. Where is my polling place? How do I, you know, what time does it open? What's my rights if I'm, you know, I mean, do I have the right to take off from work to vote? How many hours? All of these questions we can answer for you. And we are open Monday through Sunday from beginning at 9 in the morning, running until 8 p.m. And so you can call us. We are there for no other purpose than to help American voters of all ages, races, parties, persuasions, whatever. We believe in democracy. We would love to see, instead of 65% of our people voting, we'd love to see 95% plus of our people voting. So once again, that number is 866-687-8683. In addition, you can check your own status by getting our mobile app. It's for free. And it's wonderful because you can use it to put in your information and it will immediately tell you if you're registered or not, if your registration is active or inactive. If it's inactive, that's a problem. You've got to re-register. It also has a registration portal where you can register immediately. So it's a great device. And as we get closer to the elections, it's going to tell you where your polling place is. It tells you what the voting ID requirements are in your state. It tells you everything you need to know. And that app you can get by texting 90975. And the subject is one word, Our Vote, O-U-R-V-O-T-E. As one word.
I really congratulate you on the great work you're doing, and I would also point out that people might well visit your website at lawyerscommittee.org, where there are a great number of reports on what's happening at voting situations around the country.
And all these resources are cited there, and a lot more resources.
Well, before you go, say hello to Greg Ballas.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Barb.
Hey, you're doing such great work. Thank you for continuing to educate everyone about this threat to our democracy.
Oh, boy, and I appreciate it. We're going to put your app up on our website, ballotbandits.org.
Fantastic.
And with the other action groups, really, people have to take this seriously. In fact, I wanted to mention this thing about being an inactive voter. I may have to fire my associate, my partner, Zach, because even though we tell everyone, check your voter registration. He didn't. He walks in, says inactive voter. He's voted for everything from, you know, from PTA president on up. And they said, inactive voter, you lose. So we have, by the way, at ballotbandits.org, taking advice of Barbara's groups and others, 7 ways to beat the ballot bandits. We call it our ballot condom for safe voting. At ballotbandits.org, please listen to the advice you've just heard. Check your registration. 22
right
million names have been purged in the last 2 years. I'm sorry I'm going on, but I want to go from what Barbara is saying to understanding this is no joke, guys.
You know, when you can call that, 866, 687-8683 hotline. But also, I know there's a lot of people sitting out there saying, what can I do else, besides checking for myself? You can check for your relatives. The app allows you to check on any person you want who wants to give you their information. You can help them. You can help them register. The other thing you can do is you can volunteer. When you go to, lawyerscommittee.org, you'll see there's a volunteer panel where you can volunteer to help monitor polling places, because I'm sure Greg is going to talk about True the Vote and this whole challenge that's going to be taking place at polls against really great voters because people don't want people to vote. So we need to do everything we can. So people, if you're sitting out there and you're saying, what can I do? My answer to you right now is get the app, help people to register, get serious about taking off on election day so that you can volunteer and help people to vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara Arnwine, for joining us live from Atlanta on this continuing coverage of the election, the debate, and the deeper issues underneath that. She is the Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, Barbara Arnwine. This is Pacifica Radio, this originating at WBAI in New York City. My name is Robert Knight. I'm the anchor of 5 O'Clock Shadow. And for those listening during this essential fundraising period during our broadcast year, we are offering, for those who are listening right now, a special book, the brand new book that is the most thorough expose on these issues to come down the pike. It is called Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. It is by Greg Palast with Ted Rall with cartoons, as well as an introduction by Robert Kennedy Jr. And in order to support the work, the kindred work that Greg does and that WBAI does and that Pacifica does, we are offering you the hottest book on election, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, for a tax-deductible pledge of $85 to WBAI. I'd like to make short shrift of this, asking you to call at this very moment, area code 212, if you're outside of the city, 212-209-2950. We have some volunteers here waiting for your calls, and you will help this remain an independent network and station that can actually bring some truth about democracy. And Greg, it is so good to be speaking with you again live tonight. And we're going to talk about the book and about the dirty dealings that you've discovered. But first, I would ask you, did you have any special impressions of tonight's so-called debate?
Yes, I'm very impressioned. I feel like I have a tire track mark across my skull and my soul, seeing what I saw tonight. And by the way, while Greg Palast, reporting for Robert Knight and Pacifica and WBAI, is chatting away and gassing on about my feelings, I'm expecting the listeners here, my supporters, the people that watch my programs on Democracy Now! And BBC TV, this is the station we need. We need this weapon of mass destruction, New York, WBAI. So I want you to call 212-209-2950. Get this down. This is your number, 212-209-2950. 2950. So 212-209-2950. You're going to make a stinking, measly $85 minimum donation. Let's round it up to, say, $900. $85, and you will get a copy of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps. Greg Palast investigates the Koch gang, Karl Rove and their buck buddies, with a 50-page comic book by Ted Rall in the middle, chapters by Bobby Kennedy, and most important, you get your radio station to tell you what you ain't going to hear. I mean, you just heard. If you watch that debate, you heard the Petroleum Broadcast System anchor, okay, Jim Lehrer, trying to figure out where the end of a sentence is and where the beginning of it is. And for the first, probably the one thing I could feel about, you know, sympathetic for Mitt Romney is when he said, "Jim, your time's up. We ain't paying for you anymore." You know, I mean, forget it.
That's right.
This is your station. You're not going to hear.
He said that he would repeal Obamacare and get rid of PBS and send medical care back to the states and freeze the level of Medicaid, Medicare payments from the federal government. He was on a roll and saying that the corporate insurance system is the best one ever.
Yeah, I don't mind the states. Right? In fact, if you live in Louisiana, just, you know, take an aspirin and call the Undertaker in the morning. We've tried states. Running this. But the problem is, and by the way, I do want people to make that donation. It's very important. In fact, I'm going to bribe you, everyone listening. I've donated books to by the way, this book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, Robert, is now on the New York Times bestseller list for the second. It's out 2 weeks. It's been on 2 weeks. This is amazing, because that means that we are a not-for-profit foundation which has put this out, and no one's ever seen anything like it, because people are tired of the junk and the muck, and they want to know who these billionaires are that are stealing the election. And now you can get it. Yeah, you can always go to the muddy river on the internet, and you can go to all the commercial creeps that'll take your wallet. I want you to make a donation and get it at 212-209-2950, Greg Palast, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And I am going to bribe you by saying, Anyone tonight who donates to WBAI is going to get a free DVD film from our foundation called Why We Occupy. I'm going to donate as many as it takes, as many people call in. Why We Occupy, which is our investigations from around the world. And donate tonight, you get it for free.
All right, let's make it so. Greg, if it's all right with you, if you've got a few more tens of minutes or so, we will take a pause right now. For the listener supporters, for those who might be new to this broadcast, Pacifica was formed in 1949. It is a nonprofit institution, an alliance of radio stations, five owned and operated by the Pacifica Foundation, on the basis of the mental thoroughness of a non-commercial system, where information is not polluted with the virus of corporate advertising. And we are dedicated to finding the differences among people, classes, nations, economies, in an effort to find a basis of lasting peace among them. And what we do is every once in a while, we have an on-air fundraising drive, and we are in the midst of one, despite our special coverage tonight of the so-called presidential debates between the Republicans and Democrats. And we are offering, as an incentive for your tax-deductible donation to keep WBAI around for the next year and through these elections and all of the crises to come, like the ones in Syria and Turkey that were not spoken of, or in Libya, we're offering the book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, by Greg Palast. That will be accompanied by, Greg, some of your greatest interviews here on 5 O'Clock Shadow, when you did the expose on BP and the Gulf spill, as well as your work with your previous book about vulture capitalists, Vulture's Picnic.
And they're back.
We have suspended regular programming and fundraising throughout the evening because of this debate. Please, somebody, join now so that we can acquit our fiscal responsibility and continue with the enlightenment of your intellect and ability to respond morally and effectively to the democratic distemper and the crisis upon this nation today.
That's right. And you know what? I want to tell you, in Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, I talk about an organization of 37 billionaires. We just had breakfast the other day here in New York with Mittens Romney. 37 billionaires run by, organized by Paul the Vulture Singer. I didn't give him the name the Vulture. If those of you read my last book, Vulture's Picnic, I didn't realize when I wrote it at that time that he was going to be the leader of the Romney fundraising op. He's raising money for himself, that is, to buy that piece of real estate called 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You want to know what these guys want. And tonight, you only hear it on WBAI. This is Greg Palast volunteering right now. I'm a volunteer right now. I'm donating right now. I'm donating books. I'm donating DVDs. I'm donating my time. You join me by calling 212-209-2950. Let me give you a bit of information, Robert, if I could, from the debate tonight. That probably passed way over other people's heads, but it's very, very important that people know what's going on. Dodd-Frank was brought up. Now, who is Dodd-Frank? There is no guy named Dodd-Frank or Frank Dodd. That is the name of a banking bill that was introduced and passed by the Obama administration. It is the banking reform bill. It's weak as dishwater. But without it, we would be in a drought. We'd be back to where we were in allowing the endless casino operations that brought this planet to its knees. Now, and who said he would repeal it tonight? Mitt Romney. Now, Barack Obama, I don't know what happened to him tonight. He needed a five-hour energy drink. He had a fight with Michelle. He didn't have his coffee. I don't know what happened, but he was not with us. Or maybe they kidnapped him and just put this, the Romney people put this tinker toy up there, this fake president. But Obama wasn't there, so I'm going to be there for him at the moment. Not because I believe he should be reelected or Romney shouldn't, but I think you should know the information about Paul the Vulture Singer. Paul the Vulture Singer, who's worth several billion dollars, has made billions off the TARP program, off the bailout money. In particular, he is the big owner of the bonds of Lehman Brothers, the bank which imploded and took down the entire financial planet with him. Now, so Singer is the guy that is more than happy to bring down the entire financial planet. Because he brought down the planet, of course, instead of being punished or imprisoned, instead he was given billions by TARP and he's looking for more. Therefore, He has asked Romney and Paul Ryan, whom he told Romney to pick as his vice presidential candidate, you have to repeal Dodd-Frank. Why? because Dodd-Frank would eliminate the need to have TARP payments. The law says if a bank has been gambling, screwing up, and losing the public's money and its depositors' money, that the government can order it to be dissolved, split up, and spread out among banks that aren't gambling. Well, that doesn't leave any place for the vulture to make his billions. It does save the public billions. So it was really clear. You eliminate Dodd-Frank, we will be having endless crises, endless payments of trillions of dollars into bank bailout funds, endlessly captured by Paul the Vulture Singer and his buddies. That's what he was saying. No one could explain that. Obama was like a deer in the headlights. And when Romney said, oh, let's eliminate Dodd-Frank, most people didn't even know what it was. And I could just smell the vulture eating the carcass of Lehman Brothers as he was saying it. He didn't say it for the public. He was saying it for his biggest funder to say, don't worry, boy, I'm taking care of you, even with the national cameras on me.
There was another startling moment on the economic side during the debate tonight, Greg Palast, when Barack Obama was defending or speaking about the so-called Affordable Health Care Act, and Mitt Romney was saying that it'd be the first thing he would untimely rip out of the womb of Congress when he becomes president. And he asserted, and here I quote, Mitt Romney said, government has not been effective in bringing down the cost of anything. And here's the odd irony and curiosity. Barack Obama defended some elements of the incomplete non-single payer program, but did not defend the concept of, he referred to some small savings in insurance costs under the Medicare Medicaid program, but he did not specifically say that were there a single payer that the federal government could use its overwhelming volume power to negotiate better deals on medicines and prescriptions. And even so, in lesser ways, there have been examples, contrary to what Romney said, about the government being effective in lowering the cost of some things. What do you think about that?
Well, the problem for Obama is that it is fairly indefensible. He's the one that cut a private deal with the drug companies. With Billy Towson, of all people, he, when he ran for office, he said, you know, Bush had secret meetings with the drug company's lobbyist, Billy Towson. I would never do that. And he literally had the same meeting with Billy Towson, cutting a deal in which the federal government would be barred by law from negotiating lower drug costs for Medicare or importing drugs from Canada or making bulk purchases, which could bring down the price by 70%. He gave that away. So therefore, because Obama had tainted his government with the same lobbyists and the same special interests as Romney, he really had nothing to say. The problem is that there was still something to say. One thing he was not. You didn't know that you had a commander-in-chief and president there. He's, you know, and by the way, if you want to know about Paul the Vulture Singer and the guy that, you know, after all, Mitt Romney sounded pretty tough tonight. That's because he was just channeling Singer. He was stuffed. I could see Singer's arm right up his rectum all the way up his spine into his mouth and moving his lips for him. Because Singer's a very articulate guy. Romney isn't. He was fed those lines and he did it brilliantly. The public didn't even know what it was listening to, but it sounded sharp. It sounded on point. First of all, it's a lie that government can't do things cheaper. One thing the government can do cheaper, absolutely, absolutely, is pay pensions. In fact, a consultant at the RAND Corporation, when asked to look around America, was given a contract to look around America for the best-run organization in the United States. They said, you know, Apple Computer, you know, whatever industry you can find, any type of thing, you know, that you can find. And the answer was the most efficient organization in the United States of America is the Social Security Administration, which pays trillions of dollars out with almost no mistake, collects and tracks the money over decades. This is unbelievably efficient, unlike private pensions, which then, by the way, and the Social Security Administration does such wild gambling as buying nothing but treasury bonds, okay? And whereas, you know, where's your 401k right now? Well, I know that Romney's is in the Caymans, but for most people had to give up their retirement. there's a lot of things the government does cheaper, including licking Hitler. Okay? I mean, there are things that that this government does, that government and a progressive should be able to answer, what is the role of government? And the role of government is to make sure that people do have health insurance. You know, Mitt Romney's wife has multiple sclerosis. That's sad. Other people have multiple sclerosis, and it's tragic because they can't get health insurance. He says he likes private health insurance. Well, why don't you extend that to everyone else? Because we don't get it. I have asthma. If they give me a voucher, no one is giving me insurance. No one. No one. He says if you're on Medicaid, so when you're 72 years old, you're supposed to go shopping for insurance from your walker. That's what he was selling. And yet when Obama was asked, is there any difference between you and Mitt Romney on Social Security? Obama said, no, we basically have the same position. I was ready to vomit, because if Barack Obama doesn't even know his own positions, what can we do? I don't care whether Obama gets reelected or not, but I do expect him to stand up and articulate the position of why he is commander-in-chief and the president. I don't expect to hear that from Romney and his vultures. They're just going to lie their way in. It was devastating tonight to listen to this. I'm finally taking my investigations of the billionaires and the vultures, combining it with my investigations of the theft of the election, and because these are the guys that are stealing it. So, for example, Paul the Vulture Singer, you want to know about him. You want to know why he said, get rid of Dodd-Frank. You want to know how this guy's made his money, and it's creepy. And he's literally taken cholera medicine funds for cholera medicine from the Congo. I was there for Democracy Now! And BBC, and watch this. It can make you puke. This is the number one advisor to Mitt Romney, the number one donor. Find out about him in Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. You think you know about the Koch brothers? Hey, listen. I've been investigating them since 1995, and even before I was an investigative reporter. You want to know about these guys? I wrote an article for an investigation for the Guardian called The Richest Guys You've Never Heard Of. I'm going to tell you stuff that will make your eyes pop, and that's what's behind the vote theft today. The Koch brothers have gathered $250,000, $60 million of their own, and created something called the Themis machine. Themis is a massive database operation which operates like a drone attacking the voter rolls and knocking out legal voters. It is brilliant. It is sick. It is Koch. And you have to understand why the Kochs want this. It's not because of the Republicans. Koch just changed to Republican so he could be a muck at the convention. He was going to run for governor of Kansas as a Democrat. They have no parties. They have their billions, and they just want more. You want to find out how they got it and why they want the White House? Get Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps. Greg Palast, me, investigates the Koch gang, Karl Rove, and their buck buddies with a 50-page comic book by Ted Rall, chapters by Bobby Kennedy, and you can get it tonight. It's amazing. This is a hell of a deal. $85 minimum donation. Then you get the other DVD interviews from with me and Robert. And I'm throwing in again tonight, I'm going to donate more, my new DVD film disc, Why We Occupy. Greg Palast live at the Vultures Picnic. If you have the book, by the way, the bestseller Vultures Picnic, this has all 15 videos that go with each of the 15 chapters. So if you got that book, you want to really donate, because this is the only place you can get this right now. So Why We Occupy and Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, please call this number 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Guys, there's no sense my doing these reports for BBC television if they stay across the water. We have to bring them here. You get to see my reports on Democracy Now! You hear my in-depth
there's a call coming in.
On 5 o'clock shadow. And you don't get none of this unless you call 212-209-2950. Greg Palast saying, come on now, minimum donation, $85.
Greg Palast, attempt to steal the elections has different modalities. What are some of the most egregious ones, and who's behind it? I mean, you speak about the zillionaire capitals. We're getting a lot of calls coming in, actually, Greg. We have very few volunteers. There's two or three of them coming in. We've made contact with the telephone system so we can know when they're coming. Thank you, people who are calling. Greg, you should be encouraged. That means people really want to obtain your book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, plus the interviews, plus Why We Occupy.
Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps, and I'm really thrilled that people want to support our station together. Oh. And 212-209-2950, keep calling. Now, what are the worst ways? There's 9 ways that they, like I say, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, subtitle is How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps, caging, purging, tossing, rejecting, prestidigitizing. I can't read them all by memory, but let me give you a couple. People remember me as the guy that, Greg Palast, is the guy that uncovered how Catherine Harris knocked off thousands of black folk off the voter rolls of Florida in 2000. Harris called them felons, criminals, can't vote. But in fact, I went through the lists, and their only crime was voting while black. We know that they were black because it says BLA next to their names in the Florida voter rolls. That was tens of thousands of innocent people, and that's how George Bush was selected as president, by this Jim Crow operation. But it's back. If you look in Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, you'll see things like their new felon purge list, which says that there is a Robert Moore who committed a crime, and therefore Bobby Moore, obviously changed his name to just Bobby, Bobby Moore loses her vote. Mr. Robert Moore commits a crime, Bobby Moore, black woman in Florida, loses her vote. That is all the way through the list. That's just not, it's not a flaw in the list. In fact, when I went through the 94,000 names with the attorney general and gave him the names and went through the list, I said, do you have anyone on this list who is actually committing the crime of illegal voting? And would you arrest them? I said, absolutely. I said, how many cases have you opened? 6 out of 94,000 people. And those cases never led to a conviction. In other words, 94,000 people lose their vote, most of them African-American, all of them innocent, and no one's saying a word. That's just one of 9 tricks. That's purging, caging, absent. You know, one of the things that Barbara Arnwine was saying before me, no wonder, she's in Atlanta. Huh? That's why she wasn't at her meeting today. So that's one of the things I want you to go to ballotbandits.org, comrades, and get your ballot condom. There's 7 ways to beat the ballot bandits, but right now, you make this donation. You make this donation, we'll send you Why We Occupy.
Each one of those rings is another pledger, Greg.
That's great. And you know what? I'm going crazy. I'm going to also send every person who donates tonight, I'll send them a poster of the 7 ways to beat the ballot bandits, which we have at ballotbandits.org, but I'll send you the poster, too. So I'm really going wild. My dear investigatrix, Ms. Badpenny, is looking at me and shaking her head like we don't have enough, but we'll fit more.
My people are probably giving me that same stare, so that's all right.
Whoever donates gets a big pile of goodies now. $85 for Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. This is Greg Palast asking you to call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Now, one of the tricks, she said, check your registration. Said, yeah, but I've been registered. Let me tell you something. You know, you think you are. Like I said, she said inoperative registration. Whatever that is, that's what got my associate, I can hear him downstairs now, Zach, lost his vote in New York. By the way, if you are a felon, a lot of people have been removed from the voter rolls of New York because you have a felony conviction, which is illegal. If you have a felony conviction in New York State, if you served your sentence, you have the right to vote. This is not the Jim Crow South. This is not the Soviet Union. We don't take away citizenship rights because you have a felony record. After all, even our president did a little blow. And, of course, Mr. Bush before him did a lot of blow. So it's just a difference. They had the Harvard graduate exemption from serving their time. But in New York, if you served your time, you can vote. And so many people have purged themselves from the voter rolls by not understanding this. So you can get this information by reading Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. and get that by 212-209-2950. Minimum donation, $85. You get all the whole packet of goodies. The ballot condom, the DVD Why We Occupy, other conversations with Greg Palast and Robert Knight, and, of course, the New York Times brand-new bestseller, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps with Bobby Kennedy, Greg Palast, and 50-page comic book by Ted Rall. That's a lot for an $85 tax-deductible donation. It's almost insane not to call right now. I feel like, you know, these late-night guys selling the Barca lounges on TV. Go ahead, Robert. I'm interrupting you.
Well, actually, one of us is interrupting an interruption, but it's one of joy because people are calling. And $85 gets Billionaires and Ballot Bandits by Greg Palast with Bobby Kennedy and Ted Rall, as well as the audio archives of some great exposés that you've done that still stand the test of time today.
Yes.
For those of you also for another approach on the elections, you know, we're going to have Chris Hedges at the Ethical Culture Society on the 15th of October. Tickets, there are still a few tickets available there. Our volunteers, which now include staff from inside the station, Joyce Jones, let's see, Rojo, and who knows who all else. I'm in the broadcast studio.
Robert, if you go off the air for a few minutes, get the phone. I'll
okay, you think you can speak?
I don't want people who want, because it is a good package, and it's going, guys, it's going away with me tonight.
That's it.
You can still call after the show.
The special offer.
Get the package, but after tonight, you don't get all the extra goodies with the DVD and the ballot condom with the nice 11x17 poster, which you want to stick up, 7 Ways to Beat the Ballot Bandits. But you get that also at the back of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. Look, Bobby Kennedy and I, we really are shaken up by this stuff that we're seeing. We have something, for example, one of the tricks that they use is called caging. And what Karl Rove did was send out hundreds of thousands of letters to voters. When the letters came back, because he wrote, do not forward, letters come back, he said, these are fraudulent voters, and he challenges those voters. Now, you say, if they're not at the address that they're supposed to be registered at, well, then they should be challenged, except that they sent the letters to, and you love this, black colleges in August when the kids are away on vacation, and they sent it to active duty soldiers. They sent it to military bases where, do not forward, letters to soldiers who are registered to vote, black soldiers, and so the letters came back and they challenged active duty soldiers as fraudulent voters. This is the Republican Party.
The thanks of a grateful nation.
Yeah. You know, and by the way, it is legal for someone to vote from underneath a Humvee and send in that ballot from Afghanistan. I talked to one soldier. He said, I got to vote. I said, you did? You mean you got to mail it? He said, yeah, I mailed in my absentee ballot. I said, was it counted? He said, I don't know. I said, it wasn't. It was on a challenge list from the Republican National Committee. I kid you not. This is what they're doing. Again, it's not about the evil Republicans and the wonderful Democrats, because that's Mr. Deeds goes to Washington. That ain't happened. This is about democracy. I'm not partisan. I'm really not. I mean, after watching those guys tonight, it took all my power to retain my citizenship. not become British. Of course, it's even worse there.
Well, they stole our choice. Let us not let them steal our ballot.
Yes, and you know that's the other thing is if. And Paul Krugman, you know, actually when I did a fundraiser for BAI at Ethical Culture Society, this is Greg Palast again, so keep those phones going, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 for $85 minimum donation, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, the discs of my prior investigative reports and discussions with Robert, and I'm throwing in the DVD Why We Occupy, I'm throwing in the ballot condom poster, and just tonight, 212-209-2950. I was at Ethical Culture doing a fundraiser for WBAI with Paul Krugman. And he said, you know, we need to find a leader like FDR. And I disagreed with him. I said, no, if we have a big enough movement, a powerful enough movement that can deliver the votes in the face of all their 9 stupid, evil tricks, the FDR, we don't have to find an FDR. The FDR will find us because we will have the votes and the power. And we've done it. The suffragette movement, the civil rights movement, the abolitionist movement, the entire United States government. The founding of this republic was about creating our right to vote for our destiny, no matter how limited that right was at that time. That was an attempt to break away from the World Trade Organization, then called the British Empire. So we've had a long history of fighting for suffrage, and we ain't going to give up now.
Well, Greg Palast, you have brought us to a magnificent epiphany at this midnight hour Eastern Daylight Time, and this is Pacifica and WBAI's ongoing coverage of the presidential election, the first Republican and Democrat debate tonight. And Greg, I want to thank you for being so generous with your time and offer you a final chance for admonition about what one might do to protect oneself, or what one might learn from the book Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, or how to resuscitate the concept and fact of democracy in America today.
First, don't let them make you stupid. Keep open your mind by keeping open your airwaves. You got to occupy the airwaves. I really mean that. That's why I'm pitching 212-209-2950. And by the way, we'll keep the volunteers on for a little while. They're going to get their overtime, 1.5 times nothing, to stay on for a while. So you can make your $85 minimum donation, get all the goodies. The important thing, that's not, but I'm not kidding about that. I do this for a purpose. I write the books for a purpose because they want you not to know. They want to stupefy you. That's very, very important. So that's why we're telling you the 9 ways that they steal the election. That's why Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, we're exposing these guys, including, by the way, Obama's billionaires are in Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. So, you know, if you're true blue, it may make you uncomfortable, but I'm not going to let you get away with not knowing the big money behind both parties. That's very important. And then after you get all that stuff, and most of it, I was going to say grim, but actually it's a pretty funny book. And we do have a 50-page comic book in the middle because, you know, the destruction of democracy does have its darkly humorous side. At the end, there is what we call the ballot condom, 7 ways to beat the ballot bandits. There are things you can do. That's why, to me, Barbara Arnwine, who you just heard before me, is so heroic, because I take her ideas and I put them in cartoons and posters and simplified ways to understand this stuff. 7 ways that you can protect your own vote, and you protect yourself by knowing what's happening to you. That is what Pacifica, WBAI, and Robert Knight's extraordinary reports are all about. And I, Bobby Kennedy, Ted Rall, who are, you know, behind me, we think of ourselves as Vote Steal Team 3. can I get away with something that stupid?
Signed, sealed, and delivered.
To support you.
Well, thank you, Greg Palast. It's always a remarkable encounter. Thank you so much for supporting and so generously sweetening the pot for those who call the station at this time.
But we'll do it. We're coming.
Well, please give my regards to Lenny and the rest of the crew over there.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're at your disposal, ready to take on the billionaires and the ballot bandits and do it for WBAI. This is Greg Palast. Recording and off.
Well, thank you, Greg. Please communicate with me to the email address rknight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T, at WBAI.org. And thank you for listening to our coverage of the ideologically constrained debate on the economy tonight. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Yeah.